January 6th defendant Ryan Nichols has just been sentenced, sadly, to 63 months in prison. He's also going to have to deal with 36 months of supervised release. Now, many of you might recall Ryan Nichols' story. He's a veteran who struggles with PTSD, and we'll dive into that in just a few moments. But he's also well known for many reasons, and it's because he was the individual who rescued dogs during one of those notorious hurricanes in Texas, and he got, you know, a sit-down interview with Ellen DeGeneres. But just alone, the documents regarding the court documents regarding what he was accused of are pretty upsetting. Ryan pled guilty to two felonies, including assaulting a law enforcement officer on January 6th. And, well, that is the reason why the judge did sentence him to 63 months in prison. But again, folks, the DOJ wants you to believe he had a crowbar. This is a violent man. Everything else, though, if you talk to the people who knew him, you talk to his attorney, everyone else will tell you that that was not a violent man at all. And he was just there, you know, exercising his rights as an American. Joining us now to discuss all of this is Ryan's attorney, Joseph McBride. Joseph is also the CEO of the McBride Law Firm. Joseph, thank you for joining us. You know, I've followed his story through and through, and there's so many different angles that I wanted to dive in with you. But he has now, he's going to have to serve his time. And so he's going through the process right now. Tell us, how is Ryan doing?
Ryan is doing remarkably well, considering the circumstances that he finds himself in. As we all know, there's something about closure in a relationship, and this is him breaking up with the Department of Justice and knowing when he'll be able to sort of move out, so to speak. He's going to be able to get out a year and change early because of programs that he's available to, that are available to him. We made sure to negotiate a plea deal that did not exclude him from certain programs, so that is a good thing. In all reality, with good time, he should be in a halfway house by the holidays, probably around Thanksgiving, and he'll be out of prison by April of 25.
Okay, so that's good news. That's very good news. Regarding his charges, what he pled guilty to, the assaulting of a police officer, law enforcement officer, what was Ryan's defense in all of that? Because many have told me that he's not a violent guy, so this sounded a little strange for him to be accused of this.
Sure. So it's important to notice, to state first and foremost, that Ryan pled guilty, right? So he did plead guilty. In terms of a trial defense, what our defense was going to be is the fact that Ryan is a military veteran, Marine Corps veteran with PTSD. He's also a search and rescue specialist. He was at the Capitol. He saw violence happening at the mouth of the tunnel of the Western Terrace. He saw what happened to Victoria White, the beating that she endured. He saw Roseanne Boylan get murdered. And at some point, a suspicious person passed him a canister of OC spray, and he sprayed it at the police because he was angry about what he was seeing, and he did it in defense of the women that he saw that were getting beat up, right? A good man, whether you're a military veteran or a postal worker, a good man doesn't sit around and let the cops beat and kill women. They just don't do that. You can't go home and put your head down on your pillow at night if you're a good man, if you did nothing when that happened. Ryan took action. He got in trouble because of it. At the end of the day, he apologized and he said that he was sorry. And now he wants to put this behind him.
Yeah, and rightfully so. I mean, the people I've spoken to who were there that day also back those claims that police were, they were very aggressive and they were getting violent. And that was what was agitating the crowd and provoking them to get aggressive as well. So this is very in line to what we've heard from several other people who their encounters have played out in the throughout the legal system. I wanted to dive in, though, to the punishment, because it was very interesting when I looked over his information and saw that Ryan's being forced, he's fined $200,000 and he's being forced to pay that in restitution. Can you talk a little bit about that with us? Because the restitution amount looks like it's $2,000. The fine itself is $200,000. I should be clear about that. Why is he being, I mean, I've never seen a $200,000 fine. Why is he being fined that amount of money? And do you think it's associated with his Give, Send, Go page because he was fundraising on that platform?
Look, I definitely think it's associated with his Give, Send, Go page. When you look at the total damage done to the Capitol on January 6th, it was about $2 million. $200,000 is a substantial sum of the overall damage that happened to the Capitol on January 6th. And here's the kicker. Ryan Nichols did not damage any property on January 6th. So what the hell is he being fined that much for? We feel it's he's being penalized for the years of outspoken defense. We have fought the DOJ tooth and nail because of it, and we feel he is also being penalized by for the fact that he had the audacity to raise money for his legal defense, which he is certainly entitled to do. Judge Lambert, to his credit, did say that it was rather procedural and that we can appeal it. We are considering appealing it at this time. But the fact that he was fined $200,000, it is the highest January 6th financial punishment to date for a man who actually did not cause any property damage to the Capitol. So it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't. And one would have to think it was due to the fact that he was fundraising on Gifts and Go. You know, we talk about it often on this program, but the DOJ does have a habit of, one of their lawfare taxes is to drive a lot of these J6ers broke, and they're doing so by appeals, appealing sentences, taking them to civil court on other things for the Oath Keepers and Proud Boys. And so this is kind of right up their MO. I also wanted to talk about his time in the DC gulag, because you were able to get him out temporarily. There's a lot of issues with the DC jail. We've heard about it several times through people who have gone in, mold issues, poor quality food, abuse, so many issues. Ryan deals with PTSD, so this really did have an effect on him. I wanted you to talk about that for a moment and just kind of give our audience a glimpse as to what Ryan had to endure.
Sure. So solitary confinement is defined as 22 hours of captivity or more in a cell or an enclosed in area absent meaningful human contact. Prolonged solitary confinement is solitary confinement for more than 15 days. Prolonged solitary confinement is banned in New York State, and it is a violation of human rights under international law. It is defined as torture by the Mandela rules under the international law. Now, why is that relevant? Ryan was in solitary confinement for about a year and a half, and the first 11 months of his captivity was almost exclusively in solitary confinement. So when you put a man, a regular man or a woman, in solitary confinement for a week or 2 weeks, it begins to break their mind. But when you do it to somebody who has PTSD, the trauma that is inflicted is lifelong and it isn't permanent. It actually changes the physical composition of the brain. It's very, very wrong what happened. We should not do this to our enemies in Guantanamo Bay, never mind American citizens who are entitled to constitutional protections, such as the right to not be punished until you're, guilty, until you're innocent until proven guilty. Only the guilty are punished. And when the guilty are punished, they cannot be punished cruel and unusually in violation of the Eighth Amendment. All of Ryan Nichols' rights have been violated across the dependency of his incarceration. We are going to sue the Department of Justice. We're going to sue the DC jail for their abysmal treatment of him. We have documented the horrors that have happened to him. He was on suicide watch. He's been maced and held in a cell for 3-4 days at a time. After being maced without even being able to take a shower, he's been starved. He's been beaten, psychologically tortured. You name it, it has happened to him. But Ryan is a smart guy. He took great notes. He used the grievance process well. We took copious notes over the 3 years that we've been representing him, all for the specific purpose of being able to sue the wrongful doers into the Stone Age, which is something that we're going to do. We're going to sue and we're going to win, because the evidence against the DC jail for their mistreatment against Ryan is black and white. Anybody can see it.
Yeah, yeah. And we see this time and time again. The problem is these jails, they don't learn their lesson. I mean, I'm from New York, very familiar with Rikers Island and the lawsuits that have piled up against them. It's not just that. It's Fulton County's jail as well. There was a gentleman who sadly was lost his life, and it was based on, last I read, bed bugs. And so this country seriously does have an issue with our conditions, just in jails alone, if you want to just address that. So we'll see how this plays out. I'm very interested to see how this lawsuit will play out, because it's something that needs to happen. I know I've spoken to members of Congress. I've spoken to others who back up your claims, but they weren't able to intervene. And I think that's really telling in itself. So Joseph McBride, thank you for joining us and giving us this insight into what he had to endure. We really do hope and pray that Ryan gets out as quick as possible and he can be with his family, because they really need him.
God bless you, Brianna. Thank you so much for what you're doing.
All right, I've got to brag, guys. I have come across a game changer when it comes to my skincare routine, and I've got to share it with you folks. It's called Givaderm. Givaderm is an all-natural skincare line that is incredible. Like I mentioned, it has completely changed my skincare game these days. Ultimately, what's happening to me is, well, I'm not seeing the big creases in my eyes anymore. They're not as deep as they used to be. My skin feels amazing. You just feel so much better. I don't know how else to describe it. Your skin feels tighter. It feels so much better. I'm not getting breakouts like I once was before. And it's really because of Givaderm. So I'd recommend everyone heading over right now to Givaderm.com if you're looking to change your skincare routine. They have this beautiful facial edition. It's a 5-step system. It's amazing. It's on sale right now. And with the promo code Brianna, that's B-R-E-A-N-N-A, you're going to get the sale price plus 10%. off. So you got to head over right now to Givaderm.com. Use promo code Brianna, that's B-R-E-A-N-N-A, to get that 10% off. It's not just that, folks. They have this mother plumper, is how they're fluent sarcasm like me. And it's amazing. I use it every single day on my skin. It's incredible. I'm telling you, you're going to notice a dramatic difference in your skin as well. So head over to Givaderm.com and use promo code Brianna to secure 10% off. And if you enjoyed that segment, make sure you hit that like button. And if you want to see the news before it becomes the news, you have to subscribe to our channel. And well, if you have a liberal friend that you're looking to save, make sure you share this content with them.